Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. Today is Monday, October the 14th, 2024, and we're continuing our study of the Big Book in the chapter We Agnostics. We're on page 52, the fourth paragraph, The Wright Brothers' Almost Childish Faith. And we'll be reading and commenting on that one chapter only. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Alicia A., 12 Traditions, Susan G., and readers of the text, Marge O., Tamara C., and Judith S.P. And the share ID for Sunday's special edition, October 13th, was 21825. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. Our OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And this morning, Alicia A. will read the 12 steps. Good morning, Alicia.
Good morning, Alicia A., compulsive overeater, 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admit we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to all of them. Six, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. And I pass.
Thank you, Alicia A. And Susan G. will be reading the 12 traditions. Welcome, Susan.
Well, thank you, Lynn, and everyone. This is Susan, recovered compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be brought into public controversy. 11. A public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion, and we need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me give some service in my past.
Thank you, Susan G. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in the chapter We Agnostic on page 52, the fourth paragraph, The Wright Brothers' Almost Childish Faith. And we will be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And this morning, Marge O. is going to read for us. Good morning, Marge.
Good morning, Lynn, and happy Thanksgiving to all the Canadians today. This is Marjo from Massachusetts, grateful recovered compulsive overeater. The Wright brothers' almost childish faith that they could build a machine which would fly was the mainspring of their accomplishment. Without that, nothing could have happened. We agnostics and atheists were sticking to the idea that self-sufficiency would solve our problems. When others showed us that, quote, God's sufficiency, end quote, worked for them, we began to feel like those who had insisted the rights would never fly. So good morning again. It's funny, I was reading this earlier, and I can still remember the excitement, the way that the Wright brothers was presented to us. I mean, it was in the 50s, so we were into flying, and people were flying all over the world and whatnot. But being a child, when I first read about the Wright brothers, I could almost feel the excitement that they had. But I also knew that we were told that there was a lot of negativity, that only birds could fly, and they sure weren't going to be able to do it. And how they just stuck to it. And that's how I felt when I came to OA. I had tried every diet known to man, and if anybody wants to call and ask me, I can give you a litany on that. But I really did. And all the newfangled, as my grandmother would say. And she used to tell me, just cut back, Marge. Just cut back. Eat more lettuce. That will fill you up. You know, those kinds of things. And don't eat in between meals. And I couldn't do it. I just could not eat. And when I came here to OA, I found out that even though I had a higher power in my life, whom I chose to call God, I didn't necessarily think that God was going to help me with the food. So you've all heard that before. And it changed dramatically when I came to the program because I was told it doesn't have to be God. You can have a higher power, but your higher power will get you through the rough spots and the fellowship will get me through the rest of them. And that's the truth for me that has become that way. And what I really have learned here in visions more than ever before in my life is that staying dependent on that higher power and staying in touch with that higher power with a daily prayer and a daily quiet time has made all the difference in the world. Because as most of us know, as time goes on, life can get more hectic. Life can get more challenging. I'm in a challenging time in my life. And I don't have to eat over it. And I can depend on my higher power to get me through, to calm me down, to let me take notes when we're at all these different doctors. Currently, my husband has 5 different doctors. That's a lot of note-taking and a lot of information. But I can do that today. I bring my notebook, and I don't have a different notebook for every doctor, but I've got a couple of 3 full notebooks, I can tell you that. So, you know, a day at a time, if I just stay in touch, the food stays down, the attitude stays down. That's the thing with this program. It isn't just about the food. That's almost the least important. It's all about making that change and staying spiritually in touch and being a different person, being easier to be with, and being able to forgive myself when I mess up because the fellowship helps me with that also. So with that, I am going to pass, and I'm looking forward to hearing everybody. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you, Marjo, for getting us started. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once. It really does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Lisa B. in Denver.
Shanna C.
Sonia D.
Mary B. from the UK.
Okay, I missed somebody. I have Lisa B., Sonia, Mary B.,
Shanna C.
There we go, Shanna C. Anyone else? Okay, oh, there we go. Thank you. Let's start with this lineup. I have Lisa B., Sonia, Mary B., Shanna C., and Leah S. And when you go to share, please give us your name, the initial of your last name, and where you're calling from. So good morning, Lisa B. from Colorado.
Thank you, Lynn. I really love this reading. When I'm locked into God's sufficiency, or tuned in rather, I am tuned into miracles, things that could happen and things that do happen, because I'm not locked into acting like I'm playing God. When I'm playing God, my food and everything else in my life is loosey-goosey. My way, there's gluttony. Things are never enough when I'm in self-sufficiency. But when I'm in God's sufficiency, it's always enough. It's satisfying. My relationship must be with God. It's the deepest and most intimate friendship and relationship and important connection I have. And that's the only... That's the bottom line with sobriety for me, is that connection. You know, all of us humans, sponsors, sponsees, teachers, mentors, we're all human. We're not perfect. I believe that the Holy Spirit or God works through us all, but we still have our personalities, which... It's like God is filtered through our personalities. So it's not perfect. There's humanity involved. But when I sit with God and I listen and I capture through two-way prayer, or just sit and be with Him, miracles happen. I am in tune with what God wants me to do, be, serve, and with that, I'm in. Thank you, Lynn.
Thank you, Lisa B. from Colorado. Next up, we have Sonia, followed by Mary B. Good morning, Sonia.
Hi, this is Tanya D. from Illinois, recovered compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. Yeah, to me, this paragraph is really about gaining humility, which I certainly did not have a lot of coming into this program. I wanted to be self-sufficient, and reading through this chapter and, you know, talking to other people, like just working my program, made me realize, like, first, my attempts at being self-sufficient failed miserably, right? It did not work. And second, I was never really self-sufficient. You know, I'm part of society. Like, I can't grow my own food. You know, I can't make my own shoes. Like, I wanted to have the illusion that I was self-sufficient, that it was a higher power, and I didn't need anybody else. But the truth is, you know, to some extent, like, this childish faith of the Wright brothers reminds me of my childhood, that I could, like, stay on the next diet and that I could get my eating under control myself. And in that case, like, it wasn't warranted. You know, I had no evidence that it would work. Because I came in, I'm like, oh, I'm not capable of faith. And then I looked at my eating history. I'm like, man, if I can have half as much faith in a higher power and a power greater than myself as I had in this time, it'll really happen. You know, I really believed it, that I'm going to be okay in this program. And I'm grateful that I, you know, switched from, like, having faith in something that had no evidence for working, that didn't work over and over and over again, to, you know, the evidence that I saw in this program of people relying on a higher power and being God-sufficient and that working. You know, I didn't have to reinvent the wheel and do something that nobody's ever done before. In fact, I just had to follow what was given to me by other people who'd walked this path. So, like, in that sense, you know, the bar is much lower than having faith in something that has never worked before, because I know that God's sufficiency and this program has worked for millions and millions of people before me. All I have to do is just follow their lead, follow the instructions in this book, and I too can have recovery. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Tanya D. from Illinois. Now we have Mary B., followed by Shanna C. Hi, Mary.
Hi, this is Mary, compulsive eater in the UK, and so grateful to finally be on Vision after a month of access problems. It's been very, very difficult for some reason for me to dive into this new thing, and it's such a great gift to hear the story of the mindfulness and the analogy there. Because for me, it's about trust and reliance. You know, just as I trusted and relied that people were in the background, trusted and fellows carrying their facilities to try and sort out the access issue for the meeting, just as I've tried to surrender every problem I've had to my higher power, I've never been let down. And, you know, I've always found a solution. It's a miracle. It really is. You know, I really, truly surrender to an honest abstinence just over a year ago now. I think it's about 15 weeks this week. And actually, it's 17 months this July. 15 months this week, I truly surrendered. And since then, you know, I've never been given more than I can handle by my higher power. And I don't know why it took me 14 years to be truly, truly willing to let go of things around my ways of thinking and being with eating that I had known had stopped serving me a long time ago, and now I just enjoy that peaceful surrender. And yeah, it's making me think about trusting reliance on a power greater than myself, rather than depending on people, places, things, external circumstances to solve a problem. You know, it happens when it happens, and I'm grateful for the gift of the miracle. So thanks for giving me the opportunity to share.
Thank you, Mary B. from the UK. Now we have Shanna C., followed by Leah S. Good morning, Shanna.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., grateful recovered compulsive overeater from East Tennessee, and so grateful to be on the line. Thanks for leading the meeting and for those who shared and are being a service this morning. And I basically the thing that just keeps jumping out at me is that it's so comforting to learn that I could commence on a simpler level. I thank God I don't have to have it figured out. I just knew that circumstances made me willing to believe, meaning that, you know, when I desperately needed the help, and I'm not trying to be frothy or emotional here, it is an absolute fact that circumstances seem to have aligned themselves to give me the help that I needed when I really, really needed it and wanted it and was willing to go to any length. It wasn't me telling myself I'm willing to go to any length. It wasn't me telling whoever it was that was listening, I'm willing to go to any length just so I could get them to help me. I was willing to do whatever the heck it was I needed to do. But I also knew that in order for me to be able to do it, there had to be a power greater than me to enable me to do it, because I cannot do this. I cannot give up the food. I cannot, despite my best intentions, fear, pain, whatever. And when I needed that help, it presented itself. And it presented itself in the form of a person telling a story. And it was then that I came to believe at a different level and could commence at a simpler level. And doing the one thing at a time, the next right thing, the following the directions. And I just absolutely so grateful that we can commence at a simpler level, because I had to set aside everything I thought I knew about that power, because I can't minimize God and get into self-sufficiency. That's the main thing I'm powerless over, is I'm powerless over my tendency to become self-reliant. There's no sense in beating myself up over it. It happens, and when this stuff crops up, I have a way out of it through these 12 steps and these directions and the fellowship and the power that gets in there. And the main thing is to be willing to help someone else. If I'm thinking of someone else, that power goes through me, and I'm not thinking about me, I'm not thinking about the food. It's not because I'm not a compulsive overeater anymore because I'm cured, but it's because my mind is being redirected and my intentions are being redirected, and I become this open-ended vessel. It is neutral. Grateful for the defects that drive me to my knees, to my higher power. And, you know, and I'm so grateful to be a compulsive overeater today, because I wouldn't have the relationships that I have with you all, that I have with God and my family and everything. And I certainly wouldn't feel physically the way that I do without coming to that bitter end, you know, and finding the God of my understanding there waiting for me. All right. Thanks. I hope you all have a wonderful Monday.
Thank you, Shanna C. from East Tennessee. And now we have Leah S. Good morning, Leah.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. My name is Leah S. from Brooklyn, New York, and I'm recovered and recovering with the help of my higher power, which I call God. Okay, what is this childish faith that is the mainspring of the accomplishment? I'm just going to go up a paragraph, but before I do go up a paragraph or two, I just want to share with you that when I was a little kid, I don't know, maybe I'm ancient, but I remember always wanting to get the Tinker toy to myself and building a beautiful, beautiful ship. And with this intricacies, and it turned out so beautiful and so perfect the way I imagined it. And everybody would ooh and ah, how did you do that? I just used all of the Tinker toy and the accomplishment that I felt And with that simple naivety, I went about this program. So this is the paragraph above us, and this is the way I read it. I ask myself, why do not I apply this readiness of change? I am having trouble with relationships. I can't control my emotional natures. I am a misery and depression. I can't make a living. I feel useless. I feel fear. You know, all these were turned back over to the exact opposite. Negativity had no more room in my life. Honesty was going to come into it. And with that came the higher power that is going to lead me. Because you know what? I've tried every diet. I've tried everything. And I had so many issues. But at least let me try to figure out the issue of my food and get that under pat. So that's how it started. And it just leads on to more and more stuff. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Leah S. from Brooklyn. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, we are continuing our study of the chapter We Agnostic on page 52, the fourth paragraph, the Wright Brothers. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared Thursday or Friday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please, say your name just once. It does help me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Murphy D., Ireland.
I'm Brooke McKay from Toronto.
Okay, I've got Murphy D. I've got Murphy D., Bruca K., and Tamara C.
Herbert F.
Dave M. from Florida.
Herbert F. and Dave M. Anyone else?
Cheryl
Jessica
L.,
C. Florida.
Okay, I heard Cheryl and someone else.
Jessica C.
Jessica, good morning. Okay, I've got our lineup. Thank you, everybody. I have Murphy D., Bruca K., Tamara C., Herbert F., Dave M., Cheryl, and Jessica C. So welcome, Murphy. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much for your service. My name is Murphy D. I'm a recovering compulsive eater based in Ireland. And I suppose I'm hoping to be recovered, but at the moment I'm on my amends, starting to make amends, so that's where I'm at. But yeah, it's good to hear that reading and to read that part of the book. And I had a childish faith that this program would work for me. When I was at my darkest time in the food, and I was really badly mangled mentally and physically, and I didn't know really what was wrong with me. Like, I went to a doctor and I thought, did I have, you know, I mean, I don't know, this probably sounds terrible, but I thought I had cancer or something because I couldn't eat, and I was just really sick, I felt really sick, and I was asking the doctor what was wrong with me. But, you know, when I went to an OA meeting and I met members who seemed to have something, and they started saying the getting a sponsor and working the steps and going through the big book was the solution for what they had, I suppose a tiny bit of belief went in me that maybe that could work for me. But it was mainly the fact that I had ran out of options, really had nowhere else to go, and I couldn't eat, and I was binging as well. And so it was only really by starting the process that I've been able to get some, you know, get a lot of relief, and you know, get a lot of freedom from old, you know, depression and all the bedevilments that were mentioned there. And yeah, I can drop into atheist, well, more agnostic, really. You know, I can drop into that, of course, and I need to kind of constantly be walking forward, moving forward with my program. You know, it's no good. You know, yesterday's shower isn't going to keep me clean today, so I need to keep, you know, attending meetings, and I need to keep hearing the message that I'm hearing at these meetings. You know, people. It's like when I was at my darkest time and I saw those members that were recovered and had physical recovery and mental and emotional recovery. I hear it on the line every day on these meetings, and I need to be reminded that this is the answer to my problem, that the big book and the solution within, you know, within belief in a higher power, God, as I understand God, is the solution to my problem. I need to be reminded of that every day. Really, it's every day, you know. And I suppose I have been getting some emotions coming back as well. So just to say that, like, you know, so I'm walking through them as well. Okay, thanks a million. So I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Murphy D. from Ireland. Now we have Bruca K., followed by Tamara C. Good morning, Bruca. Bruca, press star 1 to unmute, please.
Hi, I'm Bruca, compulsive overeater. I usually don't share, but I'm riddled with fear, which tells me I don't have what's going on in the world and in Toronto with the anti-Semitism is really affecting me. I'm a child of Holocaust survivors and have lost 4 siblings, and that went to the gas chamber. And
Can we keep it to the reading, please?
Okay. I just admire their faith, and I just wish that I can get that, because right now I'm thinking about food and that's dangerous, so I could use some prayers. Anyways, that's what I have to say.
Thank you, Bruca from Toronto, Canada. Now we have Tamara C., followed by Herbert F. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning. Thank you. This is Tamara C., a recovered compulsive overeater in Missouri. So my old way is that my mainspring, the thing that drives me, my main chief motivation was self-sufficiency. And it was because I, deep down, I just didn't trust that there was a God that who was enough for me personally. And so I was always in panic mode, like, I've got to manage better, I've got to run the show, got to control, I have to figure everything out, control my food, control my emotions, control my behavior, my attitude, my performance, my image. And it was a very painful and miserable and exhausting way to live. And so I have to ask myself, like, what would it look like if my mainspring were God's sufficiency, if that were the driving force of my day to solve my eating problem and my human problems, my relationships and my fear. So am I willing to believe that there is a power whose love and direction and power is sufficient for me? So like freedom. Freedom, I can take all this energy that I'm putting into trying to manage life well in order to make myself okay, and I could just put it in God's hands, let God be sufficient, and then I can I have all this energy to put towards living my life and giving service, and I can just be curious and ask God, what's next? How can I best serve you? And I might actually enjoy the ride. Like, in the middle of a life full of uncertainty. I don't need to know how it's all going to work out. And I don't have to control it. I just imagine trusting, like, everything I need for today to do God's will and play the role God has for me today is going to be provided for me when I need it. And same for tomorrow. Then I can just, I don't know, it's like a whole different way of living, a far cry from my old way. And I am getting to experience it. I'm growing toward it. It's so rewarding and such a beautiful way of living, a feeling that I can give service, that I'm enough, that I do enough, and that I have a higher power who is enough. I'm willing to believe that and grow and keep becoming awake to that spiritual way of life. Thanks for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Tamara C. And now we have Herbert F., followed by Dave M. Where are you calling from, Herbert?
Good morning. This is Herbert F. I'm a compulsive overeater from New Mexico. And I wanted to comment about what little I believe or know about the Wright brothers, and that they were certainly not the only ones at the time trying to invent, you know, the flying machine. There were many others who had the backing of industry and huge amounts of wealth, and I would imagine even the military to discover this new flying machine. But the Wright brothers had something that the others didn't, which was faith. And look who gets the credit for it, or look who invented the machine, and who do we hear about? The Wright brothers, thankfully. So that's just a good lesson to start the day with right there, of how faith can accomplish so much. But in thinking about that, in my own surrender and the need to exercise my faith and put my faith when it comes to food and all things into the loving care of my higher power, you know, it doesn't eliminate the possibility and even the need for me to have my own goals. You know, if I'm giving up on food, it doesn't mean I give up on the rest of life. In fact, the program tells me to go out and explore and live these principles in all of my affairs. So so many other things in my life can be accomplished, my own personal goals. And all of this just really reminds me of the difference between doing what I can and leaving the rest up to God. You know, to show faith where I need it, but also to not forget that as a human we have our own capacity. I have zero capacity when it comes to controlling food, but in other areas of my life, what a beautiful thing it is, like the Wright brothers, to have a dream and to fulfill it and to have the faith to be able to accomplish it. But the key for me is faith, and that's where I put my faith, because it's going to help me today get through with in serenity around my food, and what a blessing that is. Thank you all so much. I'll pass.
Thank you, Herbert F. from New Mexico. And now we have Dave M. from Florida, followed by Cheryl. Welcome, Dave.
Hey, David M., compulsive overeater, sugar addict, salt addict, all that stuff. I grew up Catholic, but lately I've been really... my behavior has been agnostic. I feel like, you know, I haven't been doing a recovery. I haven't really been believing that, you know, God's there. And I feel like I've been going to my disease behavior. Yesterday, I had a big emotional episode, I would say, and something happened, and it was really tough. And I went to the food, and I felt like an alcoholic. Like I wanted alcohol, and everything I started acting out. My other program is like being drunk. You start loosening up, and then everything else is like, it's, you know, it's, you're not there. You're in a fog. And I felt like I was drunk. I was doing things I don't normally do. I was talking to my wife in this horrible way. I just wanted to eat. I didn't want to be around her. And I felt like I had alcohol. Like, it was just like it. And I was drunk in the food. I wanted to stay in it. And I was doing things and acting out my other program. And it's just... And then this morning, I slept in my car, and I woke up. I'm like, what was I doing? What happened? It's like I drank alcohol, and I got, you know, drunk, and that's, which I did. I drank in food, and I just was kind of sober, like sobered up. I texted my wife, like, I am so sorry the way I treated you last night, the words that I said last night. This is not me. It's the disease, you know. And I feel, you know, really horrible. I got a hangover. I was like, what happened last night? I don't know if anybody else felt like that before, but I was just saying things, acting. I put some boundaries. I went over some lines in my marriage last night. Kind of push some boundaries. I'm like, what, you know?
Time, please.
Thank you. But I'm really grateful for this program and ready for recovery. And I was in denial, and I'm ready to get back with God. Thanks.
Thank you, David M. from Florida. Cheryl, it's your turn, followed by Jessica C. And where are you calling from, Cheryl?
Good morning. This is Cheryl L. calling from Florida this morning. Grateful to be on the line, grateful to hear all the voices. And, you know, my heart really does go out to those who are suffering and to those who are hurting. You know, you're not alone is what I, it's just what comes to me right now. But, you know, looking at the reading this morning, you know, I reflected on the words childish faith, you know, and I had that, you know, when I was a young person, and I held on to that for a long time. But it tells us in the big book about the worldly clamors, you know, and those did come crashing in on me, and I started grabbing for more and more of what I thought I wanted. And this, what this program teaches me, is that, you know, I need to simplify. I need to stick to the basics. I really love what I heard somebody, you know, share this morning about, you know, about not having more and not wanting more, just being content with what I have. And relying on God, you know, for everything. You know, I rely on God for the big things and for the little things today. I'm going into work, and it's going to be a challenge today. There are a lot of upset people here in Florida, and I may have to come in contact with them. Is a good chance of that. But what can I bring to the situation versus, you know, what? What am I expecting to get out of it? And that's my message, you know, for myself this morning was, it's 10% what happens to you. It's 90% how you react to it. So my goal is to go in and to be of service, to practice patience and tolerance. That's how my higher power would have me be today, because that's what my higher power shows to me. And so I ask all of you to keep Florida in your prayers and your thoughts as we navigate these challenging times. And God bless you all. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Cheryl L. from Florida. Now we have Jessica C. from Toronto. Good morning, Jessica.
Hey, Lynn. Good morning. Jessica C., recovered compulsive eater. I love this paragraph. I love just this, how it talks about this childlike faith. That a miracle can happen, and that just because something hasn't happened yet doesn't mean that it won't happen. For me, self-sufficiency keeps me in a world that's limited, where only things that have already happened before can happen, you know, predictable, diminishing returns. But in the realm of the spirit, things that seem impossible, that seem beyond human ability, are possible. And I need that. I need to believe that I need to have faith, that kind of faith. 3.5 years ago, after struggling in OA for many years, and my relapses were getting worse, and I was using extreme measures to control my eating, I finally surrendered, and I became entirely abstinent. I worked the steps quickly, and a miracle happened. That constant food obsession that was always present for me for all of my life, really, finally left me. And you know, joy springs from knowing that those kinds of miracles are possible. You know, childlike faith that it talks about, you know, kids are so happy. Children are so happy because there's so much possible. There's so much possibility in their world. You know, and I can dwell on this world of possibilities that are beyond human ability. I don't have to let the miracle of my abstinence, I don't have to start to take it for granted or become complacent about it. I can dwell there and I can experience that joy. And joy also springs from the faith that miracles are still happening, that God isn't like that parent who showed up one time, showered me with love and gifts, but then disappeared. You know, God is still here all of the time. And when it comes to character defects that stick to me like glue, defects that feel woven into my being, like the food felt, like I really felt like that food obsession would never leave me, I can have faith that God is removing these two, and I can, again, experience joy in knowing, living in the realm of that type of possibility. So thanks so much, and I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Jessica C. from Ontario, Canada. We have time for maybe two or three more shares. Who would like that time?
Donna M. Sophie W.
Okay, hang on a sec, please. I heard Donna M., Sophie, Lisa B. Was there anyone else?
Toby W.
Okay, let's go with that lineup. We'll see how we do. Donna M., welcome.
Hi, I'm Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. May I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
So I used to be so confused about this chapter, Reagnostic. I didn't understand why it was there. And today I totally know that, you know, Bill wrote it because he knew that there he was an agnostic himself, so he knew the importance of letting go of that self-sufficiency and coming to believe. And for 4 years and 8 months ago, when I became entirely abstinent, it was important for me to see that others had recovered following these instructions of the big book. And that belief then allowed me to go through the remainder of the steps and become recovered. And today I have faith because I've seen it work in me, and I can pass that on to others in the program, that we can simply start from a belief And that belief is powerful. It enables us to take the actions that we need, just like how the Wright brothers took the actions that they needed for the flying machine. And so I'm grateful to be able to share today. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna M. Thank you, Donna M. from Ontario, Canada. Next, we have Sophie, followed by Lisa B. Good morning, Sophie. Please press star 1 to unmute.
Okay, Toby instead of Sophie?
Maybe. Do you want to go ahead then, Toby?
Sure. Good morning, everybody. It's good to hear everybody. My name is Toby W., and I now live in Brandon, Florida, from Massachusetts. And when I read this paragraph, I smile because when my mother was my age, I'm 89, I think she was a couple of years younger, my granddaughter asked her to come and talk about what was it like 100 years ago. And she talked about going to school in the one-room schoolhouse. And when an airplane went over, they were allowed to run outside and look at it because it was such awe that this machine was up in the air. And it was the awe of that happening. And I think about it and I smile because she's been gone for many years, but I still miss her. And I think about the awe of this program. My God, that Bill W. had this childish faith that if he did what he's done, that all the people be after him would recover. And the millions who have recovered, including myself, from this horrible disease for me. And I am just so grateful. I'm so grateful for all of those who've come before me, who've had the faith that it works. It works. And what I say to the people who are suffering, and no matter what's going on, it really is hard, but God is there, or as I choose to call God. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Toby W. And Lisa B., you'll close us out this morning. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
This is Lisa B., recovered compulsive overeater from Michigan. Yeah, I've been listening every day and haven't really been inspired to speak. And hearing that this morning, it was like, oh, my gosh, you got to get on there. When I first came into program, faith, I just couldn't have it make sense to me. It didn't seem logical at all. But it works. And today, you know, but without any faith or realization of God, all that he's done for me, I couldn't surrender and trust. But on the flip side, the more that I trust and have faith, the more miraculous things I see that he's done and will do for me. It's a beautiful, magical, joyful, exciting life when I can surrender and see my higher powers' gifts and direction and everything. It just keeps showing me more and more wonderful stuff. and that I can trust. And I never saw all of that before I started to have faith and surrendered to him and to the program. And I'm really, really grateful. This meeting is awesome. Probably saved my life. Saved my sanity, all that. So anyway, that's all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Lisa B. from Michigan. And thank you to everyone who shared and to our marvelous team Monday. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. And the share ID for this morning's meeting, Monday, October the 14th, the 7 a.m. meeting, 21826. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And we have today Tamara C. reading vision for us. Good morning, Tamara.
Good morning. Tamara C., recovered in Missouri. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until